Hello, welcome to another episode of Everything is Canon, the CineLinks podcast, the podcast where we discuss the latest books and novels with the people who wrote them. I'm your host, Steve Dunk, and however you may have found your way here, thanks so much for tuning in. If you like that intro music, then you've got great taste. That's Sam Witwer and the Crash Tones. If you want to hear more of the Crash Tones, you can download their latest album, Revenge of the Crash Tones, on iTunes or visit samwitwer.com. Today we're talking to Star Wars expert and historian Cole Horton. You've most likely read his work on StarWars.com or in one of the many reference books he's been a part of. He's got two great new books out, one of them today, in fact, Galaxy's Edge, The Traveler's Guide to Batuu. The other, the super fun Star Wars Book of Lists, came out a few weeks ago. And Cole's full-time gig is Electronic Arts, so we definitely talked a little bit about the exciting new game Star Wars Squadrons. You want to check that out. This is a spoiler discussion, so please, if you haven't read the book and don't wish to be spoiled, better stop listening now. But double back after you've read both books and check it out.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. We got a really cool one today. I'd like to introduce, if you don't know this guy's name, then in Star Wars, I don't really know what you spend your time doing. Cole Horton, he's a historian and a regular contributor to StarWars.com. He's got two books coming out. One is out right now, and one was supposed to be out right now, but actually just got delayed. We'll talk about that in a bit. You've certainly know his work if you don't know his name. Star Wars, absolutely everything you need to know. The Visual Encyclopedia, absolutely everything you need to know. Updated and expanded, the Ultimate Star Wars New Edition. And actually, he's got another book coming out, which I do want to talk about. The Star Wars book, Expand Your Knowledge of a Galaxy Far, Far Away. I think he's a co-author on that one with Pablo Hidalgo, if I'm not mistaken. We'll get him to correct me. So when you've written all those books, it only makes sense that you compile a book of lists about Star Wars. So that's one of the books he's got coming out, Star Wars Book of Lists. And the other one is Galaxy's Edge, A Traveler's Guide to Batuu. Please welcome Mr. Cole Horton. Hi, Cole. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
No problem. That was a breathy intro, but it's you know, you got to have a little pretext because you're talking about a book like the Book of Lists, which we will get more specifically into. You got to have a little bit of street cred when you write a book like this, right? So, you've got that and more, I think. But I've been asking everybody lately, just how are you doing with the pandemic? Are you safe? Is everyone you know safe? And one thing that's been slightly embarrassing is the pandemic didn't really cramp my style that much. I don't really go out anyways. So, and a lot of people people I talk to for the sake of this podcast is authors and editors, and we're sort of shut-ins anyways. So how are you starting to feel it though? I admit I'm starting to feel it, and I'm glad the weather's nice, and I'm up in Canada, actually in Toronto. So we're not as bad as it is for all our friends and family in the United States, but how are you doing? Are you starting to feel it? And is everything going all right? Or yeah, as good as can be?
As good as can be. That's right. Yeah, look, I'm not cool either. I have a full-time day job at Electronic Arts. For the past 5 years, I worked on Star Wars games, and they were incredible. I have to give a shout out to EA and being proactive and making sure that we could work safely and work from home, and that remote work and that transition has actually, I think, gone as smooth as it could possibly go. So a huge shout out to them. And you know, if I'm not working on that, I'm writing books and staying home anyway. So, you know, other than I can't go out to eat, which I love going out to eat. Otherwise life is unchanged. You know, we all have lost something in this, but we're doing all right.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've a lot of big, and then within Star Wars, we've had some great announcements very recently and some not so great announcements. Star Wars Celebration was just canceled, and we all love attending that. But 100% across the board, I think I'll even speak for you. We all agree it was absolutely the right call to make. But it is a sad, sad event. And one of the nice things that's emerged from these times, if there is a silver lining, is the, you know, we're seeing a lot of digital panels and different things like this. How are you sort of doing with stuff like that? Have you done any? How are you? Have you or just been enjoying them? What's been your sort of take from how things have been going digital?
More an observer. I've been invited to the occasional like private thing or birthday party or that kind of thing.
Nothing in a work capacity though. I don't think I've seen your name on anything. digital panel wise anyways.
I haven't had to do that yet. I mean, we had a lot of cool stuff planned for Celebration. And I'm a big Celebration guy. I've done 10. This would have been my 11th. I was excited to be there. We were actually going to be there to talk about the Star Wars book, which you mentioned earlier. And it's me, Dan Zare, and Pablo. And that would have been a lot of fun. And, you know, I think all of us who attend conventions like that, we have people we only see at those conventions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to be a long stretch. And typically I don't do a lot of shows. I only do the big ones. So I do San Diego Comic-Con, Star Wars Celebration, and New York Comic-Con. That's kind of my, you know, few, but the heavy hitters is sort of my approach on conventions. And, you know, not having those, I'm not going to see people. And that's a bummer, but it was the right call. And I, you know, if it had gone forward, I don't know how comfortable I'd have been doing autograph signings, right? Like that, I can't imagine that right now. So 2022, I guess it is. We'll get back together again. And there is D23 Expo next year. I do those when they occur.
Right.
So we'll see. You know, only time will tell. I feel like every day we get new news and this thing just keeps evolving. So hang in there.
I had made the decision to not go, whether it was happening, if it was happening, just because like the thought of being at a convention kind of scares the shit out of me right now. So, it's just, you know, I made the decision to not go either way, but, New York is going to hurt for me. It's my favorite con. And, it's inevitable that one gets canceled. It's the epicenter right now of everything that's going wrong with the pandemic. So, and Javits Center is currently a field hospital. So there's, you know, there's just no way. Right. So yeah, that's, it's hard, but it's absolutely the right call. And I'm very, very proud of Lucasfilm and Reed Pop and everybody else for making these, what must be incredibly tough decisions for all the reasons that you can think of.
Totally.
I'm glad you mentioned Electronic Arts, because yes, you are heavily involved with EA and they just had a really, really great day yesterday. If anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, they just dropped Star Wars Squadrons on us. So because you're involved with Electronic Arts, we're just going to get you to go ahead and tell us everything you know about it.
No. And that's when I fall into the Rancor pit. Yeah. Goodbye.
No, obviously we know better, but, had you seen that, trailer before yesterday?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah. Okay. I
have you played the game? You've probably played the game by now, I assume.
I guess I can reveal I've been playing the game.
Sure. Okay.
Two and a half, 3 years. Yeah.
Without the detail, obviously you can't give us any story details, but or even really, I mean, the gameplay is gameplay, but this motive engine that they're using and everything, just like, can you tell us how great it is without you revealing any story details?
Well, I think I contractually have to say it's really great. And it is. It's super. I can't wait for you guys to see more. I guess that's happening at the EA Play event this week. So the world doesn't really have that long to wait. And I'm just, it, honestly, every time something like this happens, it feels weird even talking about it at all because you keep a secret for so long.
Yeah.
And like, you've just been in secret mode, right? Like for me, it's been since, I don't know, like late 2017 or something. And the thought that it's even out there, I'm just getting uncomfortable.
Right.
But that, like, it's out there for me. It's marketing, right? Like, but
sure.
I don't know. I live in secret world. So,
you know, it's funny because I am, you know, knee deep right now in Alphabet Squadron because Shadowfall is coming out next week, the same day as one of your books, and a little bit of tie in there, obviously with Vanguard Squadron and stuff. But and our lovely Miss General Syndulla showed up in the trailer. Again, I will definitely speak for everybody. The hype on this thing is pretty big. That trailer was incredible. I was watching it at work too, and I was just jumping out of my seat. I was so excited. But yeah, that looks really great. Did you work on that? Besides, I mean, you do a lot of testing. Did you have any story contribution at all to that? Or
no, zero.
No.
Look, anything you love about the game creatively or its features and its design, you all. Kudos go to everyone else but me. I do more like marketing and research stuff.
Sure.
And it's not super interesting. the real heroes on the gaming side are all in the studio there at Motive on this one. And I'm can't wait for y'all to see it.
Yep, it's going to be great. I know people are going to. We've got these years without films, and it really seems like everybody involved has got us all taken care of between publishing and video games. So we'll be good. And I guess, speaking of one of the victims of the pandemic was the Disney parks, and part of the Disney park, of course, is Galaxy's Edge, which God, didn't really get a, it wasn't open that long before it had to shut down in the grand scheme of things, was it? So as someone who's got a book coming out, The Traveler's Guide to Bad Two, I guess it's a little disheartening that people can't pick this book up and head right there. Although maybe by, so anyways, the book was delayed to July 21st. If anyone does know that, if anyone was hoping to pick it up on the June 23rd, it's now a month out. Maybe the park will be open by then, like full. I don't even know what's going on, but you might know.
It seems to be an evolving situation. I just read about it online. Yeah. I know they're being cautious, but yeah, I think there some people may be visiting by then. And I'll say, like, writing this a year ago, none of this was on any of our minds, right? The thought that this would happen, and now that, you know, we have this travel guide to this place, that for a lot of people, you know, that's kind of going to be their introduction. That's how they can hopefully stay connected to Galaxy's Edge and Batu and that whole world. In a weird way, it's maybe even a little more special that we got to do this book.
Sure.
Because now, hopefully, you know, even if people can't get back there in the very short term here, they can read it and feel a little bit of that magic.
Anyway, so officially what we're talking about is the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge Traveler's Guide to Batu. Cole wrote it. It's an in-universe traveler's guide to Batu and the surrounding planets as well, a little bit. So it's, I say in-universe because it's told from the point of view of this mysterious person named Elok Thrawno. if anybody likes anagrams, I guess I'll let you figure that one out.
And we're not fooling anybody. Yeah, look how creative I am. Yeah.
You're playing Word Sudoku or something. That's right. Elok Thrawno, sure. But it is, so it is told through Mr. Thrawno, and it is in-universe, which I love anytime a Star Wars book does that, especially a reference guide or something like this, something that's practical anyways. So it is, you know, I have it and I've read it, and it's up until now, like we've had all these different, the inspiration, the source material is clear, right? And we'll talk about some of the ones that you maybe leaned into the most besides the park itself, right? Which is a living reference material, right? But it is, this thing really does combine all the elements of all these other great books that have come out beforehand, comic books as well, and brings it all together in one nice, beautiful package. It really is probably the best single piece of, you know, guide you can bring with you, I think, to the park. Was that your intention? And not to like say don't buy the other things because they're all great, but they all have different points of view and they have different purpose too, right? Some are novels. So was that your idea with this one, is to have it all in one handy guide?
Yeah, this is very different. Yeah. And it's all connected to all of that stuff, right? The comic series, the multiple novels, that sort of thing.
Yep.
Even the cookbook, right? There's that. But yeah, this was meant to be just like a real life travel guide to a place. So it's going to tell you all about the people who live there, the place itself, how to get around, what you should bring. And it's meant to be a little bit entertaining and a little bit of a resource guide as well. So we were trying to kind of balance the art and the science there.
Sure.
And you know, with a lot of those other stories, they are telling a story that takes, you know, part in some amount in Black Spire Outpost or on Batu. And maybe they take you to other parts of that place, but they often occur off of that world too, right? Mm-hmm. It's part of sort of a bigger story, and Batu is just part of it. This is really kind of just about Batu, or, you know, 95% just about Batu, the planet. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it does focus on Black Spire, that one place. And a lot of those other things got to sort of like where the story allowed touch on the characters and the places, right? But and I think they all did a really good job of kind of taking you into those places and using their stories to give you a sort of unique perspective or point of view or of all of that. But this I got to touch all of it. So every shop, every character, every part of town, we got to go in depth kind of place by place.
What's great is the payoff is huge because of just sort of what I'm into. I'm really focused on the publishing side of things. I've read all the things that, you know, have led up to this. So, you know, every sort of mention and wink and nod in this book, I keyed up on right away. So what was fun was, oh, that's from Myths and Fables. Oh, that's from Thrawn Alliances. That's from Resistance Reborn. Whatever. Were all these things sort of on your mind? Were all these things sitting on your desk, and you're like, oh, that would be a great little spot to pull from A Crash of Fate, or, you know, there's a little sort of V. Moradi nod.
Yeah, only in part. So yeah. I wrote this a year ago, and most of those things weren't out yet.
Right.
And so I'm trying to think, like, the comic series was just starting to come out when we were still in manuscript phase. Most of the novels had not. Thrawn Alliances had, so I got deep into that.
Yep.
And actually it provided a lot of, like, little narrative or structural, like, things that I could use and build upon. So that was great. But a lot of the other things were kind of being done in parallel. I know I got to meet up with Delilah at Celebration in Chicago. And, you know, she was nearing the end of her manuscript kind of as I was kicking off, but it, you know, wasn't done yet, so I didn't have it. The reason why it feels like I had access to all those things is because we were all working from the same reference. Mm. And, you know, Walt Disney Imagineering and the team at Lucasfilm had put together this amazingly well thought out source material for, I think, all of us had. And so by working from that same central artifact, we all ended up sort of telling interweaving stories, and it all makes sense together.
One I enjoyed in particularly was the nod, the Surabat nod, the children disappearing. Is that was from Myths and Fables?
Yeah. And that that would have been in the document, because I did not see Myths and Fables until it came out at retail.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, that was in there. There's a few others. You know, like, we go into depth about, like, the blaster marks on the wall of the cantina, and that happened in Thrawn Alliances.
Right.
That book actually, so one of the things I was dealing with when I very first started was I knew I had to kind of walk people through a logical path through the place. Mm-hmm. I kind of couldn't figure out, where do I start? Because in universe, of course, you might land your spaceship at the spaceport and come in that way from that side of the land. But, you know, in real life, we don't have spaceships and we're not landing at the spaceport. So what we are doing is walking through the gate, sort of, right? And coming into a certain part of the land from the entrance of the gate. And Thrawn Alliances, in that book, Padme lands at a sort of landing field outside of town.
Right.
And takes a speeder in. Oh, great. Well, that I can use that, right? This idea that, you know, there are multiple options of arriving on the two and list those off. But most passengers will choose and kind of talk about how convenient that is. But you should have a speeder because it's a little bit of a hike. And then that puts you in a very logical place to kind of start your walking tour of Blackspire Outpost. So that was perfect, right? The other thing in that book, it mentions a police force of some kind.
Yep.
Which you will not encounter if you go. And now there's a time gap between Thrawn Alliances and the stories that are sort of happening when you go visit.
Right.
And so I was able to talk about that. Like, yeah, they got rid of that because Oga's in charge now.
Right.
And so it was nice then to be able to sort of provide cover to some things that maybe didn't make as much sense. Mm-hmm. Because Thrawn Alliance is written so much earlier than everything else. So it worked out.
Yeah, it's anyone, you know, people listening, the book is full of great stuff like that. And like I said, definitely if you're familiar with all the other materials, you'll definitely be like really enjoying sort of all the nods and winks and the piggybacking that goes on. And one of the nice things that I appreciated was the picture of Selju from Blackspire Station was in there.
Yeah.
So that was nice to finally sort of see her. And but it's not all sort of references. There was some original stuff in there, and this is great. So he can finally reveal the entirety of the High Republic to us now, which he will gladly do.
Yeah.
So everyone, of course, knows the High Republic Publishing Initiative that was announced, and going to start getting that very soon, actually this year, end of this year, and then into next. Now there was a couple of delays, but there's a great line. I wrote it down. I really enjoyed it. During the High Republic, the Jedi established a small research station in the wilds of the planet. Really cool, really great things we've sort of seen hinted at in other books, right? from the gatherings, and all these people are out in the fields and they're finding lightsaber parts and different things like that in other books. This adds a lot. I mean, you give us very little, but you know, your mind starts to work, right? So what was sort of, was that all they gave you? Was that just drop that in there, or
they added that themselves?
They did. Okay.
Write those words. No. Okay. No, yeah. Okay. Occasionally you'll have stuff that's in progress or gets right. developed very late. And so you either you do placeholders or you just move things around. Another example of that is we talk about the holidays that are celebrated on Batuu.
Right.
And in my kickoff meeting for this book, that meeting hadn't happened yet. They hadn't figured those out yet.
Okay.
So we knew there would be holidays, and I kind of like put those as a placeholder in the outline.
Sure.
But those were added really at the last minute. And I kind of got the revision back. It's like, oh, that's cool. So that's what the holidays they decided are.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So yeah, you're in this big shared, you know, universe, both, you know, from a story standpoint, but also just there are multiple products all happening around you, and you have to be a good citizen of that universe and that galaxy and make sure you're leaving room for everybody and are patient as things change. Cause they do, you know, and this is sort of evolving. As they were finishing.
Sure. And it's nice to know they celebrate Life Day on Batuu as well.
Very important. I hope that includes the red robes and singing. We'll
yeah.
see.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things too, I liked, and there's like a packing list, and I don't remember all the contents, thing, gear and stuff you should bring with you. And there's some funny items in there. I'll leave that for the reader, but, I like that you kept in universe for that too, right? It's not like you said, you know, cell phone charger and all that stuff, because you know, grappling hook and
yep.
things you mentioned like that. So that was pretty funny. But so it's a, like, we'll get into the other book here in a second too. But what was the sort of like the one takeaway from it that, you know, you were allowed, that you sort of, you thought, oh, when you first heard about this idea and you're like, oh, that would be, you know, great. We've talked a lot about this park already, but what was the one sort of angle you brought that you were really excited about?
It's probably the characters. I mean, you yeah. mentioned Salchi earlier.
Yeah.
So you know, I wrote this basically the whole book and had never been there. The land hadn't opened yet. I did this a year ago.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
you know, I didn't know it at the time, but then having been there now, I realized that a lot of what I was writing about, the average guest may never know, mm-hmm. right? You may not pick up on some of these smaller details, or they're very subtle, or they're just kind of not present at all. Like, you know, you don't see that character. And now I realize that in this guide, I'm able to talk about all these characters because every shop has a proprietor. Every place you go has people behind it with backstories and relationships, and to be able to cover that turned out to be really special. I just thought I was covering something that, you know, everybody might know or everybody might get to cover. Mm-hmm. And it turned out this may kind of be the ultimate reference for some of that, at least in one place. So that turned out to be really cool. And, you know, like this book, and I've said it some other times, like this book is not there to sell you merchandise, right? And like, we
right.
talk about the droid right. shop, and we don't right. talk about the stuff you buy.
Right.
We talk about, you know, the guy who owns it, Mubo, and his quirky personality, and explain why his shop looks kind of disheveled and why it's such a mess and cluttered. And, you know, he's almost like a droid hoarder. Why do we talk about that? And give them character and talk about all the, you know, the droids outside and stuff like that. Even the alleyways. And we talk about why is there a droid bath in the back, and mm-hmm. Maybe it's kind of gross and he doesn't change the oil very often, and maybe you should avoid it or only use it in rare circumstances. That turned out to be really special, because I think if you were just the average guest going on vacation, yeah, you might pop in the droid shop and just kind of be amazed at all the moving pieces and all the droids. And of course, you know, want to build one. But if you read the book, you're going to have an even more rich experience. And, you know, even if you don't go, right, you read the book and you're going to know something that people who have been
sure.
may not even have realized.
Well, like I said, that comes out July 21st, and I sincerely hope the park is open by then. or parks, both parks, being in different states, you don't know. So, and then just the, you know, with things changing so much, who the hell knows, but, let's hope, they are open by then. If it is, I definitely recommend picking this book up and having it on you. My dream is to go there and see everybody walking around with this book in their hand.
That was certainly part enjoying of the vision.
Enjoying the park, not having their heads buried in a book, but, you know, having it handy, you know, with a bunch of seeing all the different parts tabbed out, ready to go in case they need a reference. But that's my dream. But I definitely recommend this book for sure. And yes, it is in universe, but I can just picture how handy it will be. I can't wait to have it on me when I go in the future, whenever things are back up and running. In the meantime, while we're waiting for things to reopen, there's no better way to kill time than to just go on and on about Star Wars and all the things we like about it and to rank them and list them. And so you've got this book coming out. It'll be out as when I release this show. Star Wars Book of Lists, Galaxy's Worth of Trivia in 100 Lists. So, I mean, that's basically the book. The title describes what exactly the book is. And if people are like, well, what do they mean? Like best lightsaber fights? You're like, yeah, right. Or yep. not specific. Yeah. Well, what do you mean best ships? Yeah. It's literally almost, it feels like whatever you could think of was fair game. So one of the things, I'm a big fan of process. So one of the things I want to talk to you about was, you must have gone into this with, you're ingrained in Star Wars. So these are the one thing I liked about this, you know, these are every list in here is something I've thought about at one point or another. Right. So I have to assume you went into this book with God, a lot of these lists already written or in your head. And if not, was it how many lists sort of, you had all ready to go and how many of the lists roughly sort of came about just during the process?
Yeah. So it may surprise people. I don't pitch books. They come to me and they have a brief and they've kind of already figured out at least the highest level of kind of what they're planning on and what they want. On this one, we didn't have the list of list yet. Funny enough, so the process on this was actually quite long. This book originally kicked off before Rogue One, and it was going to be at some point in the lead up to all of that, and had worked with that editor at the time and had created the list of 100 lists, and it was a little bit Rogue One heavy, and then the project kind of got put on the back burner, and I didn't think anything of it and never really expected to move forward. Not uncommon in any sort of creative field.
Right.
And then one day they said, hey, it's back. It was actually like either right before, or right on the heels, or right at the same time as Traveler's Guide. And I'm like, oh, cool. All right, we're doing this again. So I went back to that original 100 list and spiffed them up a little bit and make sure they were relevant. And honestly had to make sure like we were accounting for everything that had come out since Rogue One. So that was like, you know, Rogue One and beyond was a lot of additional content.
Right.
The book is largely focused on the movies.
Yep.
But even just the movies had provided a lot of stuff. So went through and came up with a list and then did another pass that was the everything within that list. And at that point, I would say this. First, you're working with lots of different people, right? I've got editors at Becker and Mayer, the publisher. I've got editors at Lucasfilm. We've got Lucasfilm Story Group who are going to give their input as well. And, everyone kind of gets their eyes on it. They've always been incredibly open to ideas. And so they were super cool with pretty much, I think, every list idea I'd come up with. And then when it came time to give the details of each list, they were so incredibly helpful in making sure that if I had forgotten anything, or especially if something would be coming in The Rise of Skywalker, which wasn't out yet, that we had placeholders for all of that.
Right.
And in some cases, they just provide that directly after I'm done writing the manuscript and some time has gone by. We kind of, there's a little bit of back and forth there. And then I think people would sort of be shocked at how fast all of these books come together. We don't tend to have a lot of time. I've done whole books in a period of just a couple of weeks. And I think in general, these things come together in weeks, not in months.
Right.
You go quick and you kind of got to know it. That's why I always say, like, I have to keep up with everything that's going on because you don't have time to research it when you get the call. You either know it or you don't, and you've got it ready, or at least got it handy to access. And I just kind of went at it. And they were so great, because like the tone of this is a little bit quirky and irreverent at times. And we were covering a lot of stuff, like 100 lists of any topic is a whole lot. And there's the obvious stuff. You know, we're going to cover Princess Leia and Luke and all that sort of stuff. But they were super cool about getting into the obscure. And like even though the book is largely focused on the films as sort of the entry point, as sort of the natural like place to draw the line, I wanted to make sure there was at least one list about non-film characters.
Right.
And that originally wasn't in scope. And I was pretty adamant I wanted it in there, and everybody seemed super cool with that. So that ended up probably being the hardest thing to write, just because I had one list, 2 pages, to cover every non-film character that I thought was important. And it's like choosing your favorite children. It's hard. Like,
oh, it would be. Yeah. I mean, the nice thing is, though, you seem to excel at books that get expanded in new editions. So you can always do the next 100 lists in a couple of years. Or
thank you, Star Wars, for never ending. Now, I am glad, like, knowing that this book could have come out at Rogue One and instead came out and now includes Mandalorian in part and Rise of Skywalker. Like, I am really glad that it came out to kind of cap the end of the Skywalker saga. Because I think it wouldn't, or we would have got to this date and been like, oh man, that would have been great. You know, or we would have to issue some kind of update. But this almost feels like it sort of caps this era really well.
So, it does.
We've got these 43 years. We got them all in one place, and hopefully that buys us some time.
And not even that, but just, you know, like years and you know, allow for rewatching, reviewing, and we always open our minds and open our eyes to different things. So, you know, it's, I'm sure there are more lists beyond that were put in this book that are, you've got in hoc, just in case. One of the things I was going to say there while you were going, if somebody was, whoever's listening and they're saying, if it's only a movie book, I don't want it. You stole my words, but I was going to say there's a great little piece called The Galaxy Expands. And one of the things you do is talk about a lot of the animation and some of the novels, and even Star Wars Resistance is in here. And, for anyone out there, don't worry, all those areas are represented as well. And it is up to date. I mean, like you do have, you know, in the opening scrolls, you've got Rise of Skywalker in there. So it's, and like you said, and up to and including The Mandalorian. So, I mean, that's about as recent as it gets, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Star Wars is never going to stop. So great job, security. That's awesome for me. I think it's part of the reason why I love it as a fan, right? Like, it's never ending. But if there was ever a clean time to do something like this, as we kind of reset and, you know.
Agreed. Yep, for sure.
This is great. Yeah.
Yep. I was just, one of the things too, was just talking to Tom Holler, and we were talking about from a certain point of view, there's a timely way to do these things, right? Because I mean, even he agreed we can't wait for 40th anniversaries from a certain point of view, because people wouldn't be around to see it. But the nice thing about reference books in particular, though, is, you know, I was tongue in cheek, but at the same time, it's true. You can update these books anytime you want, right? I mean, they could call you next year and say, you know what? Let's do another one. It is a weird mix between a reference book and perhaps like just a fun night of trivia at the same time. Is that, I assume fun was the name of the game when you were putting this together?
For sure. Yeah. It's, I'm trying to, you know, the industry like loves to put things in buckets and try to figure out what they are.
Yeah.
I think it's something between reference and novelty.
Yeah. Right?
It's the kind of book you would have out on your coffee table, and you pick it up and you read a few. You're definitely not expected, because it's like 220 some odd pages. Like, it's huge. I think I was supposed to write a few more shorter lists, and I was very bad at that. I wrote too many long lists. You pick it up and you dive in, and you can come back out of it. And it's not too heavy in most cases.
It's a beautiful book. Like, I'm holding it. The presentation is gorgeous. It's really nice to look at. Well worth the price for sure. One of the, I think, like sort of like were the meat and potatoes of chapter 8, the behind the scenes chapter, is really great. I don't know. I particularly enjoyed that one for sure, especially when you get into like the largest sets ever built and all those things.
That turned out to be just about the hardest spread to write. Most of these, you know, because this is like, I don't know, my 12th or 13th Star Wars book at this point. Yeah, yep. I've touched a little bit of everything.
Yep.
I do this all day long. But right. That one was tough because we have so much reference material and making of behind the scenes material for the original trilogy and in part the prequels.
Yep.
But we don't have that for the new trilogy.
Right.
And the Star Wars story movies. And so I had to teach myself some stuff. I had to get in there and of course, Lucasfilm is very helpful in that as well. But that one, that's where I actually learned something. And it's not every day I learn something about Star Wars.
Well, the one too, I'd have to find it again, but I think I was surprised to see Kijimi on the list as one of the larger, yeah. So that was kind of interesting to learn for sure.
That was an impressive set that was built. And I learned this kind of with everyone else that was a full 360, like immersive set that could be shot from every angle and every direction.
Incredible.
And, very unique in that way.
Now they're just going to use the volume. So 1 minute.
That's right. Yeah. Technology is amazing. And that's at the forefront.
Yeah, that thing's something else. That's incredible. One of the things too, I was sort of like, one of my favorite lists was the Will and Scream list.
Yep.
I love that one very much. It's too bad it came out though. There's a really great Will and Scream in the Clone Wars. They're the Phantom Apprentice. You remember it's the third last episode?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a fantastic one. But again, there's just no way you would have, the timing would have been crazy and Filoni would have had to know you were specifically writing a Willem Scream list. And yeah, but that's a great one. Lost Limbs, I thought was another great one.
Funny enough, that one almost didn't make it.
Oh, okay. Why is that?
Well, it was originally, there was one of the two example spreads we had put together back in 2016 or whenever. And I thought it was a shoe-in when we came back to the project. But then there's a kind of a question was raised, like, is this too violent?
Oh, really? Like,
Yeah. And my push was, well, it's not too violent for all your Star Wars movies.
Right.
So right. I think it deserves a place. And if we are trying to capture things that happen in multiple films, like this happens in basically every film. So I think we have to do it. And ultimately we went that way. And I'm glad we did. The problem was, is we had done that spread and laid it out and it was beautiful. And the spacing and design of it was fantastic in 2016. And then more limbs got lopped off in the following films. Yeah. And we had to go back in and like resize everything and make more space. And I had to write more text for that. And I think it still turned out okay, but man, they just keep losing arms and stuff.
Were they squeamish about, there was, again, I'd have to find it, but there was an interrogation list, I think, too, in here.
Yeah, I think that one was fine.
Although most Star Wars interrogations sort of take place off screen or off camera, right? Like you hear screaming, but you don't see it or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right. Like Han Solo, yeah. It just sort of happens in there. And right, that's kind of where right. The drama comes from. Yeah, I don't know if it was like, you know, Ponda Baba has straight up blood
right.
In A New Hope
right.
On the floor.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know if it was that or what, but no, I'm glad I made it in there. And I think it's the quintessential thing. It's kind of why it was chosen as the example.
Sure.
That was an example. And then lightsaber duels was the other early spread from 2016 that people sort of mocked up. Another thing happens every time. You got to include it.
Like you said, there's some classic. So yeah, some you just couldn't leave out for sure. The Wookiee temper tantrum one was a good one too. But
well, the trick there was trying to find, so like in the beginning, the early chapters are kind of trying to cover all the major characters and give them each sort of their spotlight. But you can't just do like the same thing. You can't just be like, here's all of Han's heroic moments. Here's all of Luke's heroic moments, right? So it was like, what is sort of quintessential or quirky about each of those characters and talk about that. 3PO's list of fears was maybe amongst my favorite spreads. Because most of the spreads, we actually go into detail and we give like some copy and some text that goes with it.
Right.
And sort of explain why it's on the list. But at that one, it just worked better with no explanation. And you just see that giant laundry list of things 3PO is scared of. And you know, oh yeah, that's why. That's why we chose this thing about this character. Because if there's one thing about 3PO, it's scared of something.
Yes, for sure. he'd be a nightmare. In present day Earth, he'd be a wreck. The cool thing about this book, the spread is beautiful, by the way. It's full color. Anyone, when you pick this up, you're going to be impressed with it. But there is a lot to learn in this book. I mean, and a lot of things you're going to realize that you didn't realize before, and maybe innocuous or dumb things, but kind of fun. The one that sort of like was sort of made me laugh a little bit was the finest facial hair one.
Yep.
I did not ever notice that Dexter had a mustache.
Right? It's sneaky, that little thing there.
I think, you know, the scene, and I mean, he's got enough to look at on his own. There's so much going on with him, and that diner scene is just eye candy anyways. And there's so much going on, you know, from left to right of that screen. I never noticed he had a mustache.
And I think he even kind of plays with it a little.
He did, because I went back and watched the scene after I read your book. He does. I was like, how did I miss that? I don't know. But that's kind of one of the cool, really cool things about, is there anything, you know, probably no at this point for you, but was there anything sort of when you were doing assembling these lists or reading the lists that were presented to you that you didn't realize?
Trying to think.
Anything like, yeah.
Well,
like anything,
you mentioned the scrolls earlier.
Right.
I didn't know the scroll to episode 9 when I wrote this. So,
right.
You know, that's always sort of fun.
Right.
Trying to think. There's a spread. I am so shocked they went for this. I just thought it was silly and kind of dumb, but it made me laugh. So I put it in the outline. It was Warwick Davis and all of the characters that he's played
over
the
years. Right.
That's whose names begin with W, right? And they totally went for it. And in fact, Leland Chee, the Keeper of the Holocron, provided me additional characters I didn't know. And I don't know if they had even had names necessarily. They were like robots and stuff that started with W. That's cool. Like, I don't think that's been really published anywhere that he was the actor portraying those characters. So
right.
That was sort of new information. And that's why like it's so good to get all that feedback. You know, because you're going to get that stuff that no one else would know.
So as of the time of this airing, it will be out June 23rd. It comes out, and I highly recommend this book. It is so much fun to read. It's going to sit like you get your groups of friends together and go through these lists, and you know, there's so many different ways you could make a game out of it and just have some fun with it and make your own lists, be inspired to make your own lists, come up with your own book of lists. It's such a great idea. And, I think it really just lends itself to expanded and newer editions. So you keep writing those lists. I'm sure they're going to put them to good use one day. Before I let you go, I did want to ask you about the book with Dan and Pablo.
Yeah.
So it's called The Star Wars Book, Expand Your Knowledge of a Galaxy Far, Far Away. Probably an appropriately named the title. probably works pretty well. It's probably not a whodunit. Let's talk about that one. What's going on with that? Talk about the process of working with Dan and Pablo, and you've worked with Pablo before.
Yes. So on a book, no.
No. Okay.
I've known Pablo and
sure,
crossed paths with him in his story group capacity as an author, though. This is our first time.
Okay.
We've written parallel things. Like, look, I've made a career out of writing books with sort of generic names for Star Wars, right? First, Star Wars, absolutely everything you need to know. So I was doing that, you know, he was doing the
book of lists. Yeah. Yeah.
But
I mean, sometimes it works. I mean, very, you know, funny, very quick story. I was in my, over 20 years ago, I was a roadie for bands, and one of the bands I worked with was from Santa Cruz, California, and was down there for a spell. And their favorite movie, they loved everything about, I'm in Toronto, so everything they love Canada, they love everything about, and so their favorite movie growing up was a movie called Strange Brew. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
No.
And it's Bob, and it's based on these two characters from a show we had up here called SCTV back in the 70s and 80s. It was sort of like Saturday Night Live-ish, a Canadian version. And I don't know if you know Toronto, Ontario. In Ontario, we have places called The Beer Store.
No. Okay. So, up my alley. Yeah.
Guess what?
For many reasons.
Yeah.
Naming and content.
You'll love the content. But that's the name of it. It's called The Beer Store. And it's actually like, it's the government beer store too. It's owned by the government, ran by the government. But when they saw that in the movie, it's in one of the movies, these knuckleheads go to the beer store and try... They thought it was made up for the movie because who would name their store who would name it that obvious, right? It wouldn't she be called the beer store? So anyways, it just reminded me of, so when they came to Canada the first time and saw the beer store, they nearly had a heart attack. But yeah, just reminded me of you, you know, listen, choose, make the title works. If it works, it works, right?
And the funny thing is I don't get to pick the titles of any of these things. That's right. Usually one of the things that's there from day one when they contact me. But I'm just glad that they think of me when they think of these all-encompassing tones that just need you to talk a whole lot about Star Wars. So I'll take it. If that's my little niche in this community, happy to accept it.
When is, okay, that's October that one comes out. So yeah, give us the gist on that one. What's it about?
Yeah, so the Star Wars book, it's actually kind of part of a larger series that DK does. Okay. You know, there's like the astronomy book or, yep, you know, things like that, right? And so it's very much, if you have those books, it's very much in that vein. And it, again, it tries to cover everything. The unique spin is, I think if a lot of people might think of DK books as those visual guides with lots of little like annotations and call outs and, you know, very technical, like very, sort of specific. This one is a little different. It's mostly essays. It is visual in that there are images that accompany each essay, but we're kind of taking a little bit different spin and looking at everything and kind of picking a theme about it, like a character or an event or something like that, and exploring it. So I got to do a big chunk of it. Dan Zare is one of the co-authors, and of course Pablo. So it, you know, like all of those books, people always want to know, like, tell me about the collaboration process. And the reality is it's very much a divide and conquer sort of thing. Mm-hmm. We each generally, we get brought on board. The editor might say, hey, if you have any specific things you want to write or feel most comfortable writing, you know, sort of raise your hand. Otherwise they assign us different topics and we just go. Mm. And the work is really on the editors to bring it all together and you know, make sure it's all cohesive and stuff like that. On rare occasion, they may say to me, hey, Cole, somebody else already talked about this thing. We like theirs better. We write something else. So I'll occasionally have to do that.
Sure.
But otherwise, no, I had originally joked on my first book that I didn't really know who was working on it until I got to the book signing. and that's not exactly true, but,
right.
You know, they, with these things, again, timelines are pretty quick, and, having co-authors means we can get it all done. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we write our piece and we go, and then
cool. Well, that's the best. Yeah, it's, that would have been a great panel. It's too bad. Maybe you guys, do get a virtual panel going or something at some point.
Yeah. Tell your senator, I don't know, who do you write these days to tell who you want a virtual panel for? Happy to do it. I'd love to share you in a virtual stage with Dan and Pablo.
Yeah, that'd be great. That would be great. So that comes out October 20th by our good friends DK. So we'll definitely all be getting it. So look forward to that. We'll have to touch base when that comes out later on. In the meantime, thank you so much, Cole, for doing this. I appreciate it. I know just personally, you got a lot going on right now. So I very much thank you for taking the time.
There you have it. Another episode of Everything's Canon all wrapped up. Huge thanks to Cole for speaking with me. He's a really busy guy, and I very much appreciate him taking the time to speak with us. He was moving across the country at the time, so that's how busy he is. So as of today, both books are out there in the world, so make sure you pick them both up wherever you buy your books. You won't regret it. As always, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you choose to listen, and make sure you head over to cinelinks.com for all the latest movie, TV, books, and gaming news, and that includes all the latest San Diego Comic-Con at Home digital coverage. Bye for now.